Hello and welcome to the 13th ever Plebs on Footy podcast. I'm your host, Rory O'Kane. As always, I'm joined by Scott Fotheringham.
Off the top, mate, I do have to apologise for the delay. But
yeah, a bit of general softness.
I have to say, I was prepared to do it Sunday night. We had Stringer's Innovations going. I was all excited for it, and then you said you had an essay. And I didn't even blame exams for why I didn't do it on...
That's worse. You didn't have a reason.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered. That's fair enough.
No. Okay. I think I'm going to come out ahead on who's put this off for a more bullshit reason. I think I'm fairly safe in that one.
You didn't even bother coming home on Sunday night.
I wanted to avoid the shopping.
I wanted innovations, the only good thing we've ever done. We'd have second edition of it.
I'm hurt, Scotty. I'm hurt.
Yeah, well, just don't blame everything on me, mate. But
that's look, the whole point
of
this.
I do apologise. But maybe we'll have a great review podcast this week.
You mean preview?
That's the one.
We're off to a solid start.
I was just doing this last week as well.
It's our 13th episode. Cracking on.
Yeah, unlucky number. So.
Yeah, it's an omen. Mm. Anyway, let's get on to everyone's favourite segment. The only segment where we don't ask other people to do the work for us.
Everyone's waiting for it. Gold jacket, green jacket. I reckon I'm going to be slightly more controversial this week with my selection.
That's interesting.
I think the two obvious games...
Just a quick note, actually. Yeah. Given that occasionally we might get a new listener, should we explain why it's gold jacket? Like, what the point
of this
is?
Do we have to do it every week, though?
I don't know. I feel like we did it once and then never did it again.
You can take that.
Well, it's your segment, Scotty. Go ahead.
All right. There's a quote in Happy Gilmore, gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit. So these are the games which are completely meaningless and nobody gives a shit.
I like your enthusiasm in the explanation. Born host.
Equally as enthusiastic as these games were. Anyway... I thought the most obvious options for this week were Sydney, Gold Coast and Freo Essendon. But I couldn't give either of them votes because they were both interesting in weird ways.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, Sydney, Gold Coast was interesting for the weather and Gold Coast actually gave a crack.
It broke about 10 records, didn't it?
Yeah, the tackling numbers were
phenomenal. Memorable game. You can't give that. You can't give that any votes.
No.
And then the Freo Essendon game, the Battle of the Tanks,
mm-hmm.
That was a... Like that there was a weird sort of interest in that game, and
an interesting result.
I found the result very interesting because I mean, good on Freo, get the tanking debate
done.
Off for a week, and then
until they lose to Brisbane.
This is probably the first time that you looked at a result and thought, "Geez, Essendon." in the way that we thought we would at the start of the year.
It was the first time they didn't show up, and when you've got that little talent, you can lose to the bottom team by. 70 odd points.
Yeah, when you lose to a team that hasn't won a game after 10 rounds by however much they're thumped.
You can't show up and have no players. And they rested James Kelly as well going in. To be honest, the team I question tanking going into this game is Essendon.
What's the point in tanking? Surely they should just back.
I don't think they need to tank. The weird thing is, this draft apparently has no clear cut number one. About 1 to 6 are all like pretty good without being.
Yeah.
World changes. So why would you tank?
It's pretty rare that the difference between 1 and 10 is that big.
Yeah,
like
well,
if you pick well.
Yeah. How often is the first pick the best kid in the draft? I wouldn't say it's all that often.
No.
It's probably the most common, but it's not.
It has a bit of value if you want to trade it. That's
it does.
That's the biggest thing.
But yeah, I don't think there's a point of tanking.
But anyway, no votes for those two teams. Given one vote to you fellas.
Oh, now, yeah.
I
racking them up.
I reckon this one's a
are
little
Are we
bit...
clubhouse leaders?
You probably are. You've had that many easy games. You probably should. Now, I reckon this one's a little bit weird because a lot of people are trying to hype up this game and I never saw
it. Surely that was just because it was Friday night footy.
A little bit of that, but I think people fell into the trap of, oh, here come Richmond again. Richmond again.
People also like to hype up Richmond. Like Collingwood, it's well known that they get hyped up whenever they start playing even mediocre. But Richmond have the same.
Clubs.
Richmond have the same. It's not a problem, but the same sort of thing.
But, like I always thought you'd win this comfortably. The only sly concern was when Goldstein was out, but didn't matter.
You didn't worry about the coach going out. Didn't think that was an issue.
No, not really. Well, you actually did drop off a little bit last year without him.
Yeah, we had that. Oh well, we beat West Coast, and then it all fell apart up at the Gold Coast. And we lost to the team that came like third last by 40 points.
But no, I expected you to thump him, and you did. And it was a very flattening night for me, so
yeah,
I wanted to give it a vote.
You don't enjoy it when North gets up, do you?
The previous Friday night was definitely better. Anyway, one vote for them. Two votes I'm giving to Carlton Brisbane. Now, I was a little bit torn either way. Like, in some ways, it was completely who cares. Carlton aren't going to make finals. I don't care what anyone says.
No.
And
for them to have six wins is a plus going into the year. So what they've done is fantastic. Yeah.
Brisbane are completely meaningless. So in many ways, it was completely who cares. And the result was exactly what we expected. But I am kind of fascinated by the how the hell are Carlton have a positive ledger at the moment. And
I couldn't give it
three votes for that. Like, I looked at that result and thought a bit, oh, wow. Just in terms of what does this mean for Carlton?
Yeah, like, Carlton have... They've done what, like, not a good side, but an almost good side should do, and that's win games they should. And then they've started doing it comfortably.
Yeah.
That's a big plus for them, but no, there's not the talent to make finals.
Yeah, but, absolutely. So, look, it meant nothing, but... I don't know, it was kind of interesting.
They'd be up and about at Carlton. They are up and about, actually. Oh, you know, they're not subtle about
absolutely
it.
Absolutely, they're up and about, more so than they should be, but just, you'd be pretty chuffed considering what we expected from
them. It's the same reason you're chuffed about Melbourne, Scotty.
Oh,
rough years. Yeah,
how the hell are positives? They on top of us? They won't finish on top of us, but...
Oh, he's bitter already.
There's no way.
He's bitter already. Have you played Carlton?
I've got a Carlton supporting mate who's very happy about that.
Have you played Carlton?
No, we played them like... really late, like last couple of rounds.
That's a stupid part of the fixture. Like, GWS and Sydney are playing for the second time this week. GWS played Geelong for the second time last week.
Yeah, we got Collingwood again.
It's just dumb.
Whatever. Anyway, so three votes. The most meaningless game of round, what are we, round 11?
Yes.
Is Adelaide St Kilda, I've gone with.
Yeah.
And, look, it was. The game was completely over early, but... I don't think St Kilda are too bad a side. They're having concerns at the moment because they've been
travelled terribly.
Yeah, the travel they're very dangerous at Etihad. Outside of that, they're struggling a bit, and that's concerning. And then there's also a little bit of interest in the fact that Adelaide, you know, they got a good win last week. They now got a thumping win. Maybe they are a pretty decent side, but look, the game was over early. Who really cares?
Yeah, and the result was blown out by. Few injuries for St Kilda as well, much like the North Richmond game was. So, touch a grain of salt on the margin, but still a big win for Adelaide. They're really, I think the top eight's set.
It looks like it, doesn't it? Unfortunately.
I can't. Like, Adelaide are eighth still? I think so.
Yeah.
I can't see them dropping out. They're too good. The only way they're going is up, and I can't see anyone above them dropping out.
Yeah, you're right. Port Adelaide could potentially be dangerous.
They'd have to put on a phenomenal run.
Yeah, they would. It looks pretty set, which is kind of unfortunate. Over the last few years, we've actually had an exciting run for the eight. Now we've got excitement within the eight this year.
Yeah, I think I'd rather that, actually.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, there are... eight teams that have a claim to looking like contenders. Yeah. Not one of the teams in the eight has looked inadequate every time.
And when it's the other way around, like, if there are five teams battling for the eight, whoever wins it will probably just get smashed first round, so who cares?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, to Adelaide and St Kilda, gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit?
Three votes. Embodying Chris Judd. Let's get on to the rest of the games.
Yep.
In chronological order this week, as... we normally do.
Thinking outside the box, mate. I'm liking it.
Well, you've asked for innovations. So I'm not doing it. We've got Hawthorn defeated Melbourne by 18 points. It's an interesting game. We did go.
Look, I'm frustrated, but I'm pretty
proud.
You're
flat after the game.
Yeah, I'm a bit flat in terms of our season starting to look a bit back to what it has been. Like we're getting to the stage now where, like, you know, winning's nice. It's nice to win that game, but it doesn't really mean all that much in the grand scheme of things. And again, I think we're looking back at about the 10 win mark again.
Yeah, but you got weirdly, your hopes for a bit above that, didn't you?
Yeah, we've drifted a little bit, but I still don't think we play that badly. Like, we've had a couple of disappointing performances without being shockers, which I've been expecting us to have a shocker occasionally.
Yeah.
I still think we're a much better team than I thought we would be at this stage. So I've got to be positive, but yeah, I was a bit flat after the game. I thought we were going to win it. I really thought we were going to win it.
When Nathan Jones kicked that running goal from about 50, turns to me and says, every time we win one of these, Nathan Jones.
It's normally in the last quarter. That's the difference, I'll say. If he kicks a big one on the run in the last quarter, we win it every time.
Except when you play North.
Yeah, that was strange.
No, it wasn't. You've never beat North. Anyway, What did you think for Hawthorn? Still not a very convincing performance.
No, they're still getting the job done. Like, you'd never feel confident coming up against Hawthorn. You always think there's a chance they'll scrape over the line.
Yeah.
I know you're going to feel confident about
it. Yeah, I'm going to talk it up as well. I'm going to be so bad, especially if we win this week. But we'll get there.
They're always capable of getting a win. It got to the stage in the last quarter, I thought, they're going to win it. It's Hawthorn, they find a way.
Yeah,
against... But they're not, I still don't, they're not going to win the flag. We called that a while ago.
No, I can't see it. I think to beat them, you have to be clearly better than them, because they've got the experience and sort of just this willpower to get over the line when the game's 50-50. And those three games of 3 points in a row kind of showed that to me. This was just another example of it. You've got to be clearly better than them and outplay them to beat them, I reckon.
Yeah, which we did for a couple of quarters.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah. It's not, the first quarter, a few things didn't go our way, but last quarter they outplayed us. And
well, you scored two points after...
Yeah,
halfway through the third quarter.
It didn't quite feel like that, I don't think. Last still quarter felt we were in a, it still felt we were in the contest.
You'd never had any ball movement in the last. You were just hacking it forward. Well, Bernie was hacking it forward because he was the only one standing up in the last...
He's a legend, dude.
He was very
good.
Where
did he become such an angry bastard?
I don't know. Good thing he missed Isaac Smith.
He was open palm anyway. I don't, like, I've looked at it again. At the time, I thought he just missed. Yeah. I've looked at it again. I don't think he was going for much either.
No.
He's just a niggler. It's that one game where he tagged Danger, all of a sudden he's an angry bastard.
It is pretty funny. Do you see Joe Ingles have a crack at him on Twitter?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
He's a legend, dude. He's a great
Joe
fella.
Who? Anyway, on to the next game of the round that wasn't in the Gold Jacket Green Jacket. GWS lost to Geelong by 10 points.
This was a very good game of footy.
It was.
This was high quality footy. I thought the interesting games this round were that and the Western Bulldogs West Coast one.
Yeah.
I thought this one, the standard was significantly higher.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I thought Geelong sort of do everything right, except they struggle to score as efficiently as they should.
Yeah, kicking.
Not just that, but when they move the ball forward, they're not as dangerous as they should be. They had 28 scoring shots from 76 inside 50s.
Yeah, it was another one of those GWS games, wasn't it?
Where they just sat back and waited for the opportunity to counter.
You still don't feel like they're being outplayed in those games when there's
it's a game plan
against them. Yeah. You always think they're a chance of just slingshotting and
the thing was, GWS were beaten in stuff like the contested ball, which is the second week in a row, which is a bit worrying for them, because they'd been dominant up until then in that area. But I don't know, GWS kind of almost a must win for them this week, looking forward.
Yeah, I feel like these last couple of weeks have been, I think they show where GWS are at in some ways. Mm. Like they've been both of the games, and in many ways you want to give them a bit of a pat on the back. But the fact that they've lost two of their big tests
and doesn't really
still
stamp
gonna,
them as contenders.
Yeah, you're still going to give them a pat on the back. Shows, I think, that they are just a year or two off.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone well and truly jumped on the hype train. I still think they're good enough when they play their best. But
you jumped on the hype train.
Like I was the only one.
You jump on every train.
I do jump
and then
on trains.
Jump off
I like trains, Scotty. I'm not off this train. I still think if they play their best footy at the end of the year, they're good enough to win it.
Yeah. We said they had a big month ahead, and so far they have fallen down on two of those tests. They need they need to get one or two wins.
I think they need to get two, really.
Yeah.
Otherwise, because as even as this year is, no one's going to win it from outside the top four. And
no one ever does.
No.
Every year we talk about the possibility, never happens.
And GWS, I think they're going to struggle to make the top four if they don't start winning some of these games, which, bit of a no-shit Sherlock, but that's my analysis.
Yeah. Well, you were the one who said they were contenders a couple of weeks ago, and I told you they weren't. Who's right this time?
Did I?
As every time.
Did you not hear me say, I still think they're good enough to win it?
You're very much doubting them now.
Yeah, but, you know...
They're not going to win it.
I'm allowed to
change... They're definitely not going to win it.
No, because North's going to win it, Scotty. We'll get to that bit later. We are doing predictions for stuff like that, mid-year predictions and whatnot. Thought we'd jump on that bandwagon, but let's get to the next game. The interesting one that was almost up for Gold Jacket, Green Jacket. Gold Coast, Sydney. Pretty easy win, 38 points for Sydney.
Yeah, it was in the end. Gold Coast had a bit of a crack, though.
Yeah, early, at least, like... First quarter and a half, they looked they matched it really well with Sydney.
Yeah,
they
got a bit excited about the conditions, I reckon. Just there's a chance to just crack in and have a
absolutely go. And Sydney in the wet had been run close by Brisbane, so that probably contributed to them getting up and about, seeing they don't handle those conditions well. But
that's I didn't like a Lynch's punch.
No, it's not good.
It was in the last minute of the game. It was just dumb. I think good on Eve for getting stuck into him about it.
Absolutely.
A lot of coaches would stick up for their player. But
I think the football world has tried to excuse these because they don't want people getting suspended for sort of ticky touchwood things. But at some point, we've got to say, it's not okay to just punch people.
I thought that was more of a low blow than Hawkins one.
I did too, but Hawkins got punched someone in the face, which also is not okay.
But I still think if you barely touch someone's face, as opposed to giving someone a big jab in the gut, I reckon the jab in the gut's more, that it's more dog and it probably could cause more damage, I think.
I agree, but I also think, like, according to the MRP scale, it was there.
Yeah.
100%.
That's scale. I like it. I like the idea of having a scale in theory, but gee, I think it falls down a bit.
I think more of these punches should be rubbed out, because it takes like three of them and everyone goes, maybe we shouldn't punch people, which I think is a good message to send to people, just quietly.
There does have to be a threshold, though. You can't, if someone, like Bernie touched him on the face with an open palm slap and barely touched him, you can't rub someone out for that.
No, I think he did, like, just get a fingernail on him.
He got him on the shoulder, I think.
Oh, did he? Oh, well. Yeah. I'm not sure the listeners really care about where Bernie slapped over.
All the listeners care about Bernie, mate. Everyone cares about Bernie.
They feel the burn.
Shut up.
But yeah, good win for Sydney. Did what we expected under reasonably trying circumstances.
Bloody good side, the Swannies.
They are a good side. On to the next game. I was going to try and give it a title, something obscure, but not
struggling.
13th pod, unlucky. Frio smashed Essendon by, I'm not going to do the maths on that one, a lot, 79 points maybe.
Yeah, good on the Dockers, mate. I love those Dockers.
They actually look really good. Like, when you play against witches' hats, you tend to, but they move the ball so much quicker than I've ever seen a Ross Lyon team move it. Do you reckon Ross Lyon's ever scored 126 points?
That's true, and you have to see that as a positive.
It's a big positive.
If he's looking to change things, even if he does it against a poor team, that's a step forward.
It is, and they looked really dangerous. Weller looked dangerous. Blakely looked dangerous.
We're actually getting excited about some kids playing under Ross Lyon.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, and he started using real talents, like Walter's better recently.
Yeah, and he's a very good forward.
Walter. He is a very good forward, but with the midfield they've got at the moment, he looks a lot better through there.
Yeah.
Lachie Neal's an out-and-out jet.
Yeah, he's doing it every week, isn't
he? He's averaging 34 touches a game.
Anyone would love to pick him up.
But yeah, and he's uncontracted, and I think there's quite a race on for him, to be honest.
Yeah, there would be. He's not a fantastic kick.
No,
but he's so hard at it. He gets a contested ball.
Yeah.
He's a good kid.
Yeah, and he's got good hands as well. So he's not, his disposal's not a total negative.
Yeah.
I really like him. For Essendon, getting ugly.
Yeah. Well, this is the one time in which I looked at an Essendon result and thought, oh, geez. Geez, Essendon aren't great, are they? And
no.
I've been expecting to think that every week. But, yeah. These things will happen when you've got 30 players. Well, how many players do they have on their list? 12 or something?
12 rubbed out, yeah.
Yeah.
They've got the same amount of
players. That'll happen occasionally.
With top-ups.
Yeah.
This is a very flat pod, Scott.
I told you, mate. I told you your system wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. Let's power on. Give the people what they want. Let's talk about Collingwood losing. Mm. They got smashed by Port, and once again, not going to do the maths on that one.
Yeah, well, this was you catching up on the tips?
It was.
I'm
very happy about
still
it.
Still in front.
By one, I'm getting smashed.
Well, still, you're still behind, mate.
Yeah, purely because I tipped with my head. With my heart, I mean. We are struggling. Anyway.
Sorry, from the previous week. I thought you were saying this one, you dad.
I hate
this was a weird tip. I don't see why. At the start of the year, I rated Port. You rated Collingwood. I've been trying to stick with Paul. For some reason, we flip the other way.
It's just because when I backflip, I do it well, Scotty. I do it when I see the requisite information. Also, they had so many injuries.
And then you flip back the other way and it'll work.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good plan.
They did have a lot of me. I was hoping Collingwood had... Well, not hoping, but I was expecting Collingwood to sort of turn it around a little bit. I don't get what Collingwood, what they're doing.
The weird thing is they turned around the effort. They were back being hard at it-ish. Their pressure around the ball was good enough. They weren't just getting exposed anymore with ridiculous decisions not to man up on anybody. But that was all back again. I think their defensive game plan, like, I think it works okay when the game's being played on their terms, but as soon as someone throws a blow at them, they just get blown out of the water.
Yeah, and you'd think after turning a certain part of their game around for a couple of weeks and getting results, you'd think they'd start hammering that home every week.
But you'd think at some point also they'd decide to say, oh, Aaron Young's kicked 3 goals being by himself in the forward 50, maybe we should man up on him. But no. What are they doing?
Well, it was very similar to the D's game against Port last week, wasn't it?
Yeah. Goals, it's amazing what happens when people don't decide to man up. Port look good.
Or when Port's ball movement's so fantastic. Maybe that's the consistent...
Jake Neave got one threat over the back where he fumbled the ball for about 3 seconds, still had time to walk into goal.
Yeah, no.
They kicked 7 goals from the goal square.
I'm trying to say something different here, but...
No.
Yeah, some defensive issues.
This is a lot about Collingwood, the way Port was able to move the ball. But it is good for Port. They're building a little bit of form. Not many teams are winning away, and it's a big plus for them to be able to do it.
They're not too far off.
No.
They're not too far off the pack.
They're not where we thought they'd be coming into the year.
No, I thought they'd be up high. I think this is one issue you got to tick on, don't you?
Yeah.
You had them around.
I only had them 10th.
Yeah, exactly right. Well done, mate. You actually got a tick.
Thank you.
Finally.
If you think I didn't bring that up for a pat on the back, you're wrong. And let's move on to what was probably match of the round. West Coast. No, we've decided it wasn't. Second match of the round. Western Bulldogs, West Coast. 8 points to the Doggies.
Doggies nearly
choked.
Yeah, they did.
I had the game in hand.
I thought this was a fairly boring game for the most part, actually.
I disagree with that.
I just didn't think there was much intensity there. For most of the game, it didn't feel like it was on the line.
Whenever you watch West Coast play, it's like that, though. I got to say, for a team that scores as well as they do, they're bizarrely boring to watch.
They play more of a structure. Watching that game, particularly early on, West Coast, they were winning a few clearances. They were locking it in their forward line. And they were playing like quite a good team structure. But then the Bulldogs are able to get out of it just through talent and just doing something incredible. And they just came across as a more talented team, a more exciting team.
Mm. Also, did you know Bont is the youngest captain ever to win a game? Because I think I've only heard 70 people tell me that over the week.
Yeah, fair enough. He's not that much older than Trenners was.
Did Trenners win a game?
I'm sure he won one.
While he was healthy.
I'm sure he won one. He must have won one.
Oh, that'd be such a depressing career as captain. But yeah, for the Dogs, good win. Really needed it. Put it back in the top four. West Coast still can't beat a good team away.
Yeah, is it away or is it good
beat
teams?
Team? Yeah.
That's the only question.
We'll find out this week when they play Adelaide, but it's getting worrying for West Coast. They're not the same team they were last year.
Yeah, it's a problem when the one debate you're having about them is whether they can't perform away or if they can't perform against good teams.
Yeah, that's a real problem.
That's definitely an
for
issue.
A team that was premiership second favourites or favourites going into the year. It's a bit of a drop off. You can't trust them, their form away from home. And it's a huge worry because there's no real reason it should be that bad. Like, 3 of the games have been smashed.
Yep.
And this is their best effort away from home, other than beating Port.
Yeah, we've been saying it for a while, and there are definitely concerns there. And they're getting to the stage, the concerns, you don't have enough time to turn them around. Because they'll lose enough games, and they won't finish top four. And if in reality, they probably have to finish top two to be a chance.
Absolutely.
Which just
and
won't
that's
now.
Not in the picture. You can't
so they're basically
lose four
Linden.
Games at this point. Yeah, they're Linden, like I said about
you
4 weeks
you
ago.
You did call they were Linden. I called Hawthorn the Linden. You called West Coast the Linden.
We're pretty good at saying teams are shit.
Can't say I picked anything good.
No. Oh, I picked North to come third. I'm feeling good about that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's it for the weekly review in record time.
Because apparently this is the preview week, so...
Well, given you delayed it to Thursday, I don't think people really want to hear about what's been happening 5 days ago. They want to hear about what's coming up. It's all about looking forward, Scotty.
Yeah, I'm not much of a previewer, though. When I tip, I cover up the odds because I just want to go with my gut. And I tip in a second. I just go straight away, better team, bang. That's how I tip.
I like how you're getting everyone excited for your comments. There's been a lot of thought going into it.
Mate, I told you, previewing won't work.
I got to say, for Scott's credit, he's, for the first time ever, he's the one who's brought notes to the pod.
My gold-jacket, green jacket and my predictions.
Yeah, so let's get to it. Halfway through the year, who do you think's going to win the flag?
We're doing that now.
We're doing that now.
You know my prediction. I think... Shut up. I think Sydney is... A notch above the rest. Just a small notch above. And then I think there's a pack of about five or six behind them, which it's hard to split. But I do think Sydney are clearly the best team. And I think they'll win it.
Yeah. I'm going
to... Don't tell me you're going to say...
I'm going with North.
Do you genuinely think North will win it?
We are top of the ladder. Why wouldn't I say North?
You lost to the team that I picked.
Yeah, away. We won't have to play them away if we finish top two.
Well, what if they finish top two?
Well, then we'll play them in the grand final, which is not a way.
True. You won't.
There's a bit of logic
there,
Scotty.
You won't win it, mate.
I'm feeling better and better as we go. With Sydney, though, do you reckon they could cover an injury to any of their midfield? I struggle to see it.
I think they've got quite good depth.
I think they've got about 4 or 5 stars in their midfield, but I think it drops away pretty quickly.
But then if you lose one, then you've still got more stars than North Melbourne have. Or that a lot of the teams up there have.
Yeah, but I think they're incredibly reliant on those stars instead of an even spread. And I think look what happened. They lost to Richmond when Josh Kennedy didn't play.
They lost to Richmond because they just didn't really turn up. Then Richmond had a good day. I think if you lose Kennedy, you've still got Parker, Hannabury, Mitchell, all that carrying the midfield. I think their midfield is outstanding, one of the best. And then they've got one star forward. And their back line's not as bad as everyone says.
Heath Grundy's playing really well.
Yeah, they've got some honest players.
I really, really
back there.
Doubted him. And their small defenders are excellent.
Yeah, Nick Smith's in gun.
Rampy's played incredibly well this year.
Yes, he has.
They've got McVay back there because they can't be bothered putting him in the midfield, which...
Can't be bothered. Is that why?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you couldn't be bothered putting Bernie in the midfield until Viney got hurt.
Couldn't be bothered, mate. It's because we thought he could use him off half back. We were wrong about that, and let's keep him in the midfield. But, Sydney, clearly a better team than over North Melbourne, that's for sure.
No.
If not North Melbourne, who do you pick?
It would be Sydney.
Yeah.
I think Sydney are by far the most... Like, if I wasn't going with my heart, I mean, I've said that twice, I'd be going Sydney. And, like, I think they're...
So you think Sydney will win it, you're just dipping North, because...
No, I think North will win it, and then I think Sydney will lose to North in the grand
final. You just said your head tells you Sydney will win.
No, I said if I wasn't tipping with my...
Righto.
Shut up, Scott. Anyway, let's get on to Brown, though. Who's your tip?
I'm going the obvious one. I could not say Dangerfield.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. He's been more consistent this year than he has been in the past. He's a very noticeable footballer.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think...
He hasn't been far off in the past, and I think he's gone up another level.
Yeah. I don't think he's been that much better than last year. I think it's going to be one of the most even years in the Brownlow we've had in a while. I think it'll be a low 20s win.
Well,
unless someone comes
out more even in the first 12 rounds of last year.
Yeah. No, yeah, it might be more even because Ablett isn't playing well and Fife's hurt, who have dominated the last few. But there's always like the chance Pritis comes out of the box. But we never expect Pritis to do well, and he always does. But just West Coast aren't playing as well, so might be a bit different.
Yeah, Geelong will win enough games. I find it hard not just to pick anyone other than Pappy. I really do.
I think one of the Sydney boys are a chance, but they're
take
so
off
yeah,
each other.
Exactly. And do you wait for a bit of bias to come out for my prediction, Scotty?
Ted Goldstein.
Yup.
Mate, I should take it back. Maxie on it. He's the best big man who ever played the game.
Nah, Todd Goldstein, when he's the best on ground, he's so clearly the best on ground that no one's going to take votes off him. So that's why I think
you were confident he'd win it last year and he got nowhere near it.
I wasn't confident.
You picked him last year.
Of course I was going to pick him last year. He plays for North.
A ruckman hasn't won it in about 20 years.
Yeah, and this is where
it's a midfield competition. And he hasn't been, like, compared to his previous years, he hasn't been any more dominant this year.
Yeah, and so every time we talk about a Brownlow contender, you say they've got to have one good year before they start polling well, right? That was his year last
year. You're saying Todd's only had one good year.
And one Brownlow good year, and that was last year. He's been nominated for the All-Australian squad twice before last year, and he should have made it both times. Stupid Mark Jamar and Will Minson. If you think I'm not bitter, you're wrong.
I always say I can't bite into that argument because I don't remember Todd Goldstein's year in 2010. All I know is that Jamar had a good one.
No, Todd Goldstein by a streak.
The Russian, he had one good year. It was bloody good though.
But yeah, and I think he's going to poll really well because it's his second year of being in the umpire's minds.
Alright, so North Melbourne.
Yes.
Now, which North Melbourne player is going to win the Rising Star?
Ryan Clark. He hasn't played yet. I'm sure he's going to win it.
Yeah, the other Wagner.
Exactly.
The North Melbourne Wagner winner.
No, I think Wiedering.
I said Wiedering as well in the end.
I think he's a very good player. He looks... like, when a key defender plays really well, they're given so much more credit in the Rising Star because it's harder to do as a young kid. But look at Hogan last year.
Yeah, I think there'll be...
Cripps was excellent last year. Hogan was excellent last year, but because Hogan was a key forward, he got it. I think the same thing will happen to Wieder. And guys like Parrish have been good. A few boys at Melbourne have been pretty good.
Yeah.
But I just can't see Wieder not winning it.
Yeah, I felt some sort of an obligation to say Petrarca, but I don't think he's been outstanding. I think the two best players have probably been Wiedering and Parrish.
Yeah.
And for similar reasons to you, I'd go with Wiedering. I think there's something unique, there's something special about a key position defender coming in and holding down.
And looking really and good.
Just looking comfortable and just holding down a spot.
Not
he's
really
good for their structure already.
He's not been given a bath by anyone.
No.
Which is incredibly hard to do when you've got lack of a muscle base as an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
It's just pretty incredible. I think... Wiedering's been on par with what Hogan did last year, but I don't think Parrish has been as good as Cripps, so I just think it's Wiedering.
Yeah.
I think you'll almost be unanimous, to be honest.
Yeah. I think he should win it. He's not favourite.
Really?
Petrarca's like $5 favourite.
I think I'm going to put some money on Wiedering.
There's a lot of hype around Petrarca.
That's free
like
money.
Like too much. Free I mean, I know money. I built up the hype. But
you did. You built him up so much hype. I was disappointed when he had 20 touches and kicked 2 goals.
Mate, I've been slightly disappointed. He's been bloody good and he's going to be a star, but I've been slightly disappointed. That's how my hype was.
Anyway, let's get on to the Coleman medal. Who's going to win it?
Buddy. I couldn't hesitate.
What do you mean? Jared Way.
Oh my god.
No, it will be Buddy.
It will be Buddy.
Buddy.
I thought Lynch was a chance for a while.
If Tom Lynch was getting any good delivery, he'd be a red hot
goat. If his team were kicking any goals, he'd kick enough.
Yeah.
But,
exactly.
Buddy, clearly. Will he get the ton?
I don't think so. He's just... it's so hard to do. I think he might get like 85 plus. But like, I think he might get in the finals.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll get in the
finals.
I think that's what
a lot of people are talking about, I think, in terms of finals, which doesn't feel as special.
No, I don't feel like that's the same.
Dad always talks about, like, he kicked 150 goals in the season. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, he kicked a few in the grand final, I'll get to 150. I'm like, that's not the same.
No, it's all about what you do in... what you do in finals is very good.
Nobody cares about finals. Kick goals, run away, and you're just sweet.
Definitely more important to do it in finals. But in terms of, like, how many kicked in a season, the measure I use is home and away.
I agree with you.
What else we got?
Last one, wooden spoon. It's got to be Essendon now.
Yeah, Frio gave him a real run.
Can't lose shot.
And then decided...
Gold Coast would feel pretty happy about their first few wins, because I don't know if there are many more coming.
And same with Brisbane, actually.
Yeah.
There are a few very bad teams.
Yeah, there are, actually. There always are.
Yeah.
But you can't...
This year feels like there's one more than there should be with Essendon, but...
Yeah. There's that added thing there.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get on to Poochie's mailbag, the segment everyone's been waiting for, where we've had
The number two segment of the pod behind Gold Jacket, Green Jacket.
Exactly. Another segment I don't contribute to.
Gotta get your segment, mate.
I do.
Pull your weight.
I think I've got one for Monday. I've got one. I assume we'll be doing it after Quinn's birthday. Probably shouldn't be discussing planning on the pod, so let's move on.
All right, what's your question?
It's pretty much, what do we do with Tasmania? Because they've had a Friday night game. There's not really much more expansion you can do with Hawthorn and North there. And
let's be honest. You could just shit North off. Should have gone ages ago, mate. We don't want you in Melbourne.
You know, we're like nearly as big a club on membership basis, Carlton.
Yeah, your memberships are ridiculous.
We're closer to Carlton than we are like Western Bulldogs.
You must hand out free memberships or something.
We've just got a garbage truck full of memberships dumping into the river.
There must be a lot of two-game memberships.
When JB started, we had 27,000. Now we're pushing 45.
There's something going on. It's very rare that you come across a North Melbourne supporter.
Are you serious? Even though I live with two.
I can't think of anyone outside of that.
Oh, Nat Thomas, who we went to school with.
What?
Two random people in a university.
That shows how much you're reaching to find a North Melbourne supporter.
My dad.
Yeah, I don't see how you have that many members.
We're everywhere, Scotty.
Yeah, send them off to Tasmania.
We're like
send
the Illuminati. We're underground.
All right, so what do you reckon they should do?
Pretty much, the next time they expand, Tassie's got to be one of the teams. It's just...
Yeah, they do love it there. It's fantastic.
Like,
how bloody cold it was Friday night.
Everyone showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the market there. Like, there are 500,000 people in Tasmania, but they're still enough to sustain the team. There's not 500,000 people per football club in Melbourne, and we get 10 of them. So, the economics are there. It's ridiculous that there's not...
Yeah, I hope there's not too much expansion going on there.
No, then there'll probably be one in about 10 years, maybe.
Yeah, and it's got to be Tassie. And if GWS or Gold Coast fold, which Gold Coast is possible.
Yeah, Gold Coast is real possible. Gold Coast is a graveyard for sporting teams. It's really depressing. I think every
team... Such a sexy name, though. Like, when I first started, I thought, oh, that could work. Because people get excited about the Gold Coast. People want to go over to the Gold Coast compared to Greater Western Sydney.
That's true. In terms of travelling fans, Gold Coast would definitely be ahead of Sydney.
And for players as well. It's a much more attractive prospect.
Yeah. That's the other thing. I'm kind of surprised Gold Coast have so much issues dropping, like keeping their players.
Yeah.
You would have thought people would love it up there.
Yeah. Most of their issues start from culture, it would seem. They just didn't bother enough with that early. It's very important.
And I think
there's a bunch of 18-year-olds.
They're still being run out of portables, so I think that's a worry.
Yeah, that is definitely a worry.
But anyway, yeah, I think Tassie definitely deserves a standalone team. But definitely, in the meantime, North Melbourne should get an academy and have full access rights to it.
Mate, this is the North Melbourne pod. This is ridiculous.
We've got the academy. It was announced. We got it.
Wait, you actually got an academy?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Like, last week.
God, I hate North Melbourne.
Oh, we're so good.
God, I hate you.
Well, there's so much fun to go for, Scotty. It's just great. Number one.
Right.
We're just the best. Anyway, let's get on to the part everybody's been waiting for. It's tips/previews this week. Big slash, because we're expanding the segment. It's absolutely fantastic. I was going to make a Zoolander joke, but... It came into my head halfway through and I was saying nonsense, so I decided to pan it.
Maybe don't explain what your intentions were after it comes across a bit ridiculous, but...
It does.
Let's do it.
It does. Anyway, it's a pretty big week of footy.
There are definitely some interesting ones. I think we could differ on quite a few tips here.
I think we could too.
Unfortunately, Friday night's not one of them.
Doesn't stand up to the eye test Friday night. I don't know why. Essendon came fifth last year. Why would they schedule a Friday night against the reigning premiers when there was the possibility of them all getting suspended?
Well, they're two big clubs. You've got to give Essendon a few Friday night games.
But Carlton didn't get one.
Yeah.
Also, it's not hard to play Essendon against like Carlton on a Friday night instead.
Would that be better?
Well, it would have going into the year. It was easy to see that Essendon were either going to be not good or
time, they didn't know everyone was going to be suspended.
They had a fairly good inkling.
They didn't know it.
Either way, it's safer.
I think Essendon have to get a couple of Friday night. It's disappointing that we got rubbish Friday night footy this week, but you have to give them a couple of games. You have to give
their supporters a bit of lip service. You don't have to give it against the reigning premiers when they weren't good last year and there was a possibility of them being a basket case.
They'll get it. They'd still get a half decent crowd just because they're a couple of big clubs.
Yeah, but it's all about the TV, Scott, and no one's going to watch.
That's true. I certainly won't.
I like you. But who do you reckon
will win after this discussion?
Oh, Essendon.
Yeah, clearly.
Hawthorn are resting everybody.
They actually do a couple of outs. Maybe that'll make it interesting, mate.
Yeah, Sam Mitchell's apparently in danger, so is Gunston. Will be interesting.
Yeah, Essendon will snag a couple more games. They will.
Do you reckon they'll win a few more?
I reckon they'll finish on three, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They'll snag a couple.
Do they play Melbourne again?
Shut up.
But yeah, Hawthorn in a canter.
Yeah.
On to an interesting game. Port Western Bulldogs at the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah. My gut went Port Adelaide.
Really?
Yeah. We've talked in the past about how much I rate the Adelaide Oval as an advantage.
Yeah.
And I just saw Port Bulldogs, Adelaide, and my gut went to the Port.
Good analysis, Scott. This is what you're here for.
And you know I rate the Doggies. I think the Doggies are a genuine contender.
Yeah. I think Port struggle to score when they're not easy goals, and I don't think the Dogs are going to give them up.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the Dogs will win. The Dogs are dominant in contested ball. It's helped by having an extra player there and sacrificing a forward to get that, but I still see the Dogs winning, to be honest, with a reasonable amount of comfort. I could see it being about a 5-goal into the Dogs.
No, I'd be very surprised about that. I expect this to be quite a good game of footy.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen Port be absolutely pantsed and embarrassed.
Yeah, you've seen them play some good footy as well, though. They can be electrifying in patches.
They can. And that's the thing. They could keep themselves in the game against the Dogs by playing a bit of burst football. But the Dogs are pretty good, Scott. They're in the top four for a reason.
They are, but young side travelling over there. And just going to Port.
But they got the best captain in the business, Scott.
Well, this is the battle of the greatest ruck stocks in the business, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Apparently, Tom Campbell and Jordan Roughhead combined for 16th most sit-outs. I'm pretty sure they're playing one of the few teams that's worse.
They were actually... Some of their grabs last week...
They beat Nat Nui and Lysette in the ruck,
in my mind. And even the tall forwards were much more dangerous than the West Coast ones.
Yeah.
We talk about the West Coast ones all the time. I mean, they're better players, but... Redpath's not too bad. He actually played really well against Melbourne. He's a big boy and he can take a grab.
He can go missing a little bit because he's a bit inexperienced, but
yeah,
he shows flashes. Like, Tom Boyd doesn't just have his spot waiting for him.
No.
Redpath's really performed pretty well.
He's not too bad.
I like him. He's straightened them up. The Dogs can't play without a key forward. We've seen that.
Yeah, absolutely.
No team really can. So, they really need what he's offering. And I really rate it. Also, Port don't have the best tall defenders with Carlisle out and Trent Gove in the ruck.
So. They don't have great defence full stop.
No.
Their defence is much more about run. Run and carry. And
the more I think about it, the more I like Jasper Pittard. He just amuses me.
Oh, he's a good player. He's a good player in his own way.
He also exemplifies everything wrong with Port's team.
He's not accountable and he makes some shocking mistakes, but he's in what he does do well. There's a reason why Ken loves him.
Yeah, he's good fun. Did you see that he was playing on Cloak last week?
No,
he didn't. For large patches of the game.
And Cloak still didn't manage to kick a goal.
Yep, that was good fun.
Pittard would be one of the worst defensive defenders in the game.
I love him. Cloaky. He's good fun. Let's move on to a... slightly interesting game. Like, there's a little bit here. Same reason Essendon Freo was interesting.
But Brisbane Freo is not a battle of the tanks.
It's a battle of the net.
Yes, but that's not interesting. I was interested last week for the
Freo tanking question.
Yeah, pretty much. Freo or Essendon, are they tanking? That's what was kind of curious about it. Like, this could only be interesting if it's a thumping, one way or the other. That would make it interesting because one of the teams.
I'll be surprised if Freo doesn't thump Brisbane, to be honest.
What? I'm tipping Brisbane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Freo were poor, man.
Yeah, but Brisbane are woeful at the moment.
Yeah.
Rockliffe's back, but he's sort of the only one with any spine in that 48
team. 48 touches.
Whoa. He's back in my dream team as well.
They've actually got, they've got some big bodies in there. When they have a crack,
Robinson's,
they're not too bad.
Okay, in terms of being the big body who...
Bell's not a bad player.
He's a half forward. He's not a midfielder.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just, they seem lackluster all the time.
Rich
when I
is
watch
a big, big body.
Yeah.
You're right. They look like lackluster every time I see them. Well, except for that Sydney game.
Yeah, that's true.
I see them play. But if they turn it on, they're not too bad. And over there, I expect them to play pretty decent. And Freo are poor. Freo, with the injuries they have, they are a bad team now.
Yeah, I think they're still... Like, Freo's lost a lot of games, but they haven't been belted anywhere near as much as Brisbane has.
They have the structure to quell the damage a fair bit. They don't quite have the talent to snatch games. And last week, I just don't give any thought to that at all, really. Like, good on them for getting a win, but it really means nothing. It's in complete witch's hats. And I think Brisbane could get excited over there for a big performance to try to get a win on the board, and we're going to win.
Ooh, interesting. We're two tips different already. Now we've got best game of the round, biggest game of the round.
It is a good game.
First, third. We've got Geelong, North Melbourne.
Oh, gee, I hope Todd's out.
Yeah, I don't.
As we're on this topic, why are we doing this before selection?
So we can have people listen to it as soon as teams come out and sound like geniuses or idiots as they're listening.
But wouldn't they be too busy doing their dream team and
see,
stuff?
There's a lot more...
Well, why would people be listening, looking for a podcast?
There's
more
a much
time,
bigger then? Presence on social media during teams being announced than there is otherwise.
Social media.
Yeah, it's all about
marketing. I think it would have been better to be able to have talked about selection during the podcast and then... An hour later, everyone will still be thinking about footy, and then
functionally, yes, it definitely would have been. But
your management's poor tonight, mate.
I've got no notes. We're winging it. We're doing well. It's all about
no
me
segment.
Tweeting out about
He's struggling.
It's I've got a segment next week. I'm booking it in.
I'm interested. I'm intrigued. But anyway, back to Geelong, North Melbourne.
Yeah, Tom Hawkins is a huge out for them.
Yeah, my thoughts on this game was, if it was in Geelong, I would have tipped Geelong without hesitation. The fact is that Etihad makes me not sure. The fact Hawkins is out makes me just tip you. If Todd's out as well, though, I'd probably go back the other way. But I don't get a chance to do that, do I? So I'm going to assume he's going to play, and I'm going to tip North.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably tip North regardless because I'm arrogant.
Because you tipped him.
Yep. let's talk about the actual game. Geelong rely really heavily on their centre bounce clearances to score. They're quite dynamic out of there and they're not great at transitioning the ball. But North are the best team in the league at that, Scotty, so I don't think they're going to have the opportunity as much.
I think if both teams play their best, Geelong would win. I think Geelong are the better team.
That with Hawkins out.
But they're
out,
very inconsistent.
Is that including Hawkins being out?
Yeah, probably still.
That?
Probably still.
I disagree quite strongly with that. Probably.
Of course you do. I expect you to disagree quite strongly with that.
Yeah, I think Geelong have some fairly glaring weaknesses. They're very slow in the back half, which allows them to be burned quite a bit.
It's not an issue
their
when they're...
Their forward line
their
is very inefficient. They push the ball wide far too often, and that's why they kick poorly.
That's true.
And I think North are one of the best teams in the league at restricting scoring when the ball's inside 50. And I think this is a... I think every matchup, the way it works, is in favour of North. In saying that, could be wrong.
Except for the fact that they've got a better midfield.
No Jacobs hurts on that one. Selwood's been tagged over the last few months, and it'd be really handy to be able to tag him out of the game. I expect Duncan will be tagged by... Sam Gibson, and I don't think he'll have much of an impact, but I don't know, bit of a toss up
I just think Geelong are a better team, but at Etihad, I hope the Catters get up.
Nah, you're coming with me to the game.
Oh, we'll see.
It's going to be good
we'll
fun.
See. You might kill me.
On to another cracking game, West Coast Adelaide at West Coast. It's a big one. This is the defining. It's still on the West Coast. That's why they're named West Coast.
Yes, all right.
this is probably the defining game West Coast season in terms of where I make up my mind about them.
Really? You see, does that significant? Oh, I think West Coast should win, for sure. I think...
We're going differently again.
You're tipping Adelaide to beat West Coast over there.
Adelaide are better than West Coast. It's not that far for Adelaide to travel.
They're not better than West Coast.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. West Coast are a better team, and over there they should beat them comfortably.
Ooh, nah, I disagree heavily.
You really dislike West Coast.
I don't think they're that good. And they're not that good.
They're not bad.
Yeah, and Adelaide's good.
They have issues travelling. They're not travelling this week.
They have issues against good teams, too.
They're dominant over there.
And they're playing a good team.
Adelaide aren't that good a team. Adelaide are off the top bunch.
Adelaide will finish no lower than sixth. And I don't think West Coast...
You went through a patch when you decided Adelaide were contenders. Then you decided they dropped off. And now you're saying they're a great team again. West Coast are a better team than Adelaide.
West Coast aren't good. Their midfield is... ordinary.
No, it's not. They've got some good players through there.
Yeah, they've got some good players. Look at it against every other midfield of a good side other than Adelaide. And Adelaide's better everywhere else around the ground.
Their forward line's outstanding. Their midfield's not that bad. You're selling their midfield short. Pritis is a good player. Gaff's great on the outside. Shuey's a good player. Yeah. But Nat Nui's a jet, regardless.
Yeah.
Maston's a pretty good player. They've got some depth through there.
Pretty poor this year.
Yeah, he had a few injuries.
Every one of these players has been pretty well below their best the entire year.
Yeah, but they still have the capability of being a very good team. And when they're on and when they're at home, West Coast at home is one of the hardest tasks.
I agree, and I think Adelaide are very good and they'll win.
Do you think they'll finish sixth and you think it's one of the hardest tasks and they should still...
I think Adelaide will finish no lower than sixth. And I think... Yeah, West Coast is one of the hardest tasks because of where it is and the shape of the ground, not because West Coast are great.
But you still agree it's hard beating them over there?
Yeah, and I think Adelaide are in great
that
form.
Good, man. No, I'm pretty confident on this one.
Okay, well,
I reckon easily West Coast.
Frio to...
Jeez, this is a weird week.
This is a weird week. I bet we end up, like, splitting them.
Yeah, probably.
St Kilda Carlton that Eddie had up next. It's an interesting one.
There's a chance we'll differ on this. I'm saying St Kilda.
Are you serious?
Yes! 100% serious.
Why?
Carlton are terrible.
They're better than St Kilda.
No, they're not. St Kilda are a dangerous side.
St Kilda lost by 100 points last week.
At Etihad, St Kilda are a very dangerous side.
You know
side.
Who also plays at Etihad pretty well? Carlton is their home ground.
St Kilda at their best are a much, much better team. Their list is significantly better.
I disagree. Rewald's playing hurt. Yeah, McCartan's...
That's the one thing that made me hesitate, was injuries.
They've got no back line, which suits Carlton perfectly, because they don't have a forward line either.
So that'll be neutral. And then the midfields and Kilda are much better. Much better.
I just think St Kilda... I don't think they're going to handle Carlton's pressure at all. I think Carlton's ball movement has been shockingly good the last few weeks. I just think they're better than St Kilda. They've performed better this year.
I think, but they're performing above what they're...
I agree, and St Kilda are performing below what they actually
are.
And saying that, I think Carlton will beat St Kilda. I don't think it's magically going to change within a week.
But St Kilda have had some good performances.
Yes, and more recently they've had really bad
They've had two really bad performances, and both have been really difficult tasks away, and they've shied away from the spotlight. When they're at home, they are quite a good, dangerous side, and they're
they
better
are.
Than Carlton.
I don't necessarily
disagree
with that.
This is crazy, the differences.
It's pretty odd. Anyway, let's move on to the next one, Richmond. Gold Coast.
If you say you're tipping Gold Coast...
No, of course not. Aaron Hall's been dropped. Gold Coast
chance. Like, you would be fuming.
I'd shed a tear.
The one thing that I gave you at the start of the year... was
Aaron
quite,
Hall watch.
Yeah, you were quite good with tipping a few individual players, and Hall was the standout. He's dropped, mate.
Rodney Eade is a dick. That's all I'm going to say. He decided to play... Hall was fantastic in the midfield, and then decided, I know, I've got a great idea, we're being... terrible all year. Let's take one of our good players and play him somewhere else where he's not as good.
Would it surprise you if I said Aaron Hall would do no defensive work at all?
No.
And then would it
I've
surprise
watched Gold Coast and none of them do. Except for Stephen May. Paul, and half of his defensive work is knocking people out.
They have one player who does anything defensively. This, you can't carry both Ablett and Hall and what they are as defensive footballers in the same midfield. And I think that's why I decided to put him forward. And he hasn't performed well enough there. And he's clearly not. He's clearly
Aaron Hall had like 30 tackles in a preseason game.
That's right. That wasn't nuts. But no, Hall is not a defensive footballer.
I think he's good enough when he's like playing, like when he's up and about and actually doing the team thing. I just think he's not doing the team thing, and then he gets woeful.
So that's probably fair enough. Got dropped there.
No. Albert should have been dropped.
The weird thing about it is, who the hell do they bring in?
They've got like 30 players to pick from. How can they have 12 better than Aaron Hall?
Yeah, exactly. He's one player who's actually played some good footy at times.
It is definitely a message it's on this one. It's not, you're not good enough.
It has to be.
But yeah, Richmond, if they lose this one.
Yeah, they're officially.
Apparently, Trent Cotchin was sick today, so he's a bit of a cloud. Missed training with illness.
It's a Sunday game, isn't it?
It is a Sunday game, he should be right. But yeah, Richmond, they're stuck in a like weird stasis. They're not bad enough to be bad, and they're not good enough to be good. They're just eh.
We'll have a few tears from the Poochie if they don't win this one.
Oh, I'm going to call him if they lose this one. That'd be fun. Anyway, on to another cracking game this week. GWS Sydney.
Oh, will we go different? I'm Tim and Sydney.
Yeah, you are. So am I. Finally.
You love GWS.
Yeah, but Sydney are really good and is not really travel when you're going across the road.
That's true.
Or across the bridge, I should say.
Very clever. look, Sydney are my
battle of the bridge.
My flag favourites, and it's not a massive travel. They should win.
No. I think
potentially, really good game. But
really big game for GWS, though. Did we say it on the pod or off the pod?
I don't know.
It's all melting into one. Anyway, I think GWS need to get some, not reward for effort, because they've been clearly the worst team the last 2 weeks, but they need to win one of these games.
They need some belief.
Yeah.
They need to start thinking we are one of the better teams in the comp.
Mm. And like beating Hawthorn by 75 points should do that, but that would have taken a bit of a dent the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Heath Shaw said today that it was pretty, not make or break, but pretty close to it for them, so I think they think about it. I wouldn't be surprised if they come out all guns blazing, having set themselves for this game.
Yeah, there's a bit of that, but I think they set themselves for a big run, and you think there could be
bit of
air
fatigue
out of the tyres a little bit after a couple of big efforts but disappointing results. There's a potential there for them to be a little bit flat.
Yeah, in the first matchup, Sydney looked clearly the better team.
Yeah.
So there's that as well. I think Sydney will win. I think it should be within about 3 goals, though. Not expecting a blowout win.
No, I hope and probably expect it'll be a really good game. I'm excited to watch this one.
On to the feature game of the round. For the first time ever, Melbourne are favourites.
The D's grand final.
Exactly. Play Collingwood, Queen's birthday. It's going to be cracker.
I'm a bit surprised by the odds, because generally people don't like betting on Melbourne, and Collingwood get a weird sort of following. But nonetheless,
we've got a lot of supporters boost. Yeah, which is every Collingwood supporter that doesn't know anything tips them.
Saying that, this is probably the most confident I've been. Well, one of the most confident I've been all year. I was pretty confident round one, you remember. I told you to.
You did.
Put your house on it. But I'll say similar this way. I'm pretty sure we'll win this one. Queen's birthday is our game. We basically do our whole budget off it. it's a massive game for us. We'll be up and about for it. Hopefully Viney will be playing. If Viney is picked, put your house on it. Will we?
I like your confidence, Scott. It's a rare thing seeing you confident about Melbourne.
The last 5 weeks I've told you we'll get smashed, so this is weird. But no, I have a really good feeling about it.
Yeah, I think you're quite rightly. Collingwood I just don't see them showing up.
They could. do occasionally.
Yeah, like Anzac Day, they played all right. Was against Essendon, but some teams have trouble with that.
This is a second-rate blockbuster.
It is
for them. So
I think it's a second-rate blockbuster in terms of like it's a pretty good game between two sort of just out of the
don't get sacked for Queen's birthday. It's a good day,
huh? Oh, no, I'm not saying the day. I'm saying in terms of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Top eight clash.
Fair enough.
But it's, still pretty interesting.
I think it has the potential to be quite a good game.
Yeah. both teams might decide not to play defense, and it could be quite a high-scoring affair. But I don't think Collingwood's ball movement's actually good enough to take advantage of you not deciding
apparently
to man up.
Jeremy Howe's a bit sore. That'd weirdly be a big out for them.
He is way too important for them.
He shouldn't be, should he?
Like, they've got a lot of halfbacks that just aren't very good, and Jeremy Howe's like, oh yeah, he's pretty good. So that's just a huge bonus for them. That's weird.
Yeah.
After ragging on him, he's actually pretty good now.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's about it, I'd say.
Two tips for the Ds. Get excited.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the 13th ever Plebs on Footy podcast. Congratulations if you made it to the end. I'm pretty sure it was a struggle. As always, we've got a Facebook page. Give us a Google.
Exams are nearly done. We'll be up and about.
We will.
We'll be up and about next week.
I wish I'd been able to play my segment this week, but needed to be an early in the week pod.
Yeah, mate, you've built up the hype. It better be good.
It's going to be terrible. I can also be reached on Twitter at PlebRoryAFL. And as always, go North.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you can't reach Scott.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but everyone knows that by now. You're a numpty.